Who do you think you are? I mean, who were your ancestors? Where did you come from? What shape is your family tree? Genealogy's become well trendy, and loads of us are interested in these questions. That includes scientists. A team based in Oxford has just published a detailed genetic ancestry map of Britain, kind of like a country family tree. To be included in this study, you had to live in a rural area in the UK, and all four of your grandparents had to come from that area too, within an 80-kilometre radius. The genomes, therefore, provided a record of the British gene pool of the grandparents' time, around the late 1800s, before lots of people moved to cities and before big migrations in and out of the country. It's a snapshot of British genetic history. Peter Donnelly is the team leader, and he came to the studio to tell gene geek Ewan Calloway about the study.
So our study focused on people in the UK of European ancestry. To a first approximation, people of European ancestry in the UK look extremely similar genetically. What we were able to do, though, was to delve under the surface and look at quite subtle but real differences. And then, so we did all of that analysis of the genetic data, and then we looked at the clusters that came out of the genetic analysis, and we plotted those on a map of Britain to see what they revealed.
And it's a pretty astounding map. Tell us a little bit more about, the kind of differentiation you saw.
It was extraordinary when we first looked at the maps. We had no idea what to expect. It had been known from other studies, some work we'd been involved in and many others, that there were broad genetic trends in the UK. But what we were able to do through our study was to really zoom in on, as I said, quite subtle but real differences. And the patterns we saw were extraordinary. Two counties right next to each other, Devon and Cornwall in the southwest of Britain, each corresponded to different genetic groups. And indeed, the set of individuals who are in the cluster only based on genetics in Devon geographically matched remarkably well with the modern county boundaries.
So what created these differences that you've just talked about between people from Devon and people from Cornwall, et cetera?
There are two different forces that would result in the patterns of differences that we see. One of them is that there will be different inputs of DNA through migrations from Europe. The other effect, particularly in smaller groups like the islands in Orkney, is that when populations evolve over time in a way which is relatively isolated from each other, then just by chance, genetic differences will accrue between them.
Is one example of that, say, the differences between people from Cornwall and Devon, where you've got this giant expansive moor kind of separating the two counties?
Yes, in the south there's a river, the Tamar River, and in the north there's Bodmin Moor. Makes perfect sense and would be expected that geographical boundaries to migration and movement of people will tend to foster relative isolation, and that can lead to genetic differences. Also, cultural differences or a particular sense of identity. In southwest Wales, for example, in Pembrokeshire, we saw two genetic groups, and it's been known that for over 1,000 years, the very tip of southwest Wales, the language spoken was English, whereas as you moved into Wales, people spoke Welsh. And the two genetic groups we see, the boundary between them matches something that's called the Lanska line, which has been in place for almost 1,000 years, to mark the difference in language between the two groups. So language can be another factor which discourages marriage and mating between people in different regions.
These differences that you found across Britain between people, these genetic differences, also tell us a lot about Britain's history. What kinds of events did you uncover in the genomes of Brits?
We saw evidence of a number of the known migration events. We see evidence in England of the Anglo-Saxon invasions. We're also able to quantify that. So in the case of the Anglo-Saxons, a typical person of European ancestry in modern-day England has maybe a quarter, and certainly somewhere under a half of their DNA is a result of that Saxon migration. So there's been a long-standing controversy amongst historians about what happened when the Anglo-Saxons arrived in the UK. When they arrived, the place names all changed, the language changed, the cereal crops changed, and the pottery styles changed. So some had argued that that was because the Anglo-Saxons replaced the existing population, whereas our data shows that we see clear evidence of the Anglo-Saxon DNA, but because it's in the minority, it must have been the case that they intermarried with the existing population. So we're able to resolve that historical question.
Does knowing the structure of Britain's population, does it help with anything other than reconstructing Britain's history?
It's potentially helpful background for doing studies of the genetic basis of disease in Britain, and that was one of our primary motivations at the outset of the study. So when we look for genetic factors which may influence people's risk of disease, we tend to compare sick people and healthy people and look for genetic differences. if there are differences geographically and you sample more sick people from one region and healthy people from another, then that can confound and complicate those studies. So having a good sense of the background can well be important in knowing what sorts of things we can rule out in terms of confounding factors.
And of course, you've got people whose ancestry traces from all over the world who are much more British than me, who has, you know, a great-great-great-great-great-grandparent from Scotland.
Yes. I mean, many of the people in the UK, particularly due to migrations in the last century, don't have European ancestry, and they bring with them their own rich genetic diversity, some of which is and will be extremely helpful in studying the genetics of diseases and in using genetics to better understand human biology and change the way we do healthcare.
That was Ewan Calloway talking to Peter Donnelly.